Welcome to Monday Morning Joe, the podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, one of the founders, one of the owners, one of the Joes, one of the guys covering the team 24-7 for the last 10 seasons. Hard to believe. And thanks for joining the podcast, which is presented by Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai, and Discount Garage Doors. Before I tell you about the sponsors, I have to tell you that I am going to get to quickly in this podcast why Bucks fans deserve all the defense in the world for freaking out, for being angry, for throwing things, for every negative emotion that's coming forth today. It is excusable. It is understandable. It is not a freak out. And my reason is going to be different than what you think. And I'm also sort of venting and soothing myself because I'm tired of getting stomped in the groin like this every single year. And I'm going to explain what I'm talking about here in just a second. Lakeland Ford, which is part of Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai. Lakeland Ford is offering factory pricing and all incentives for anyone with Hurricane Irma damage on their vehicles. Now that can be something as simple as, you know, a tree fell on your car and dented it and you want to get a new one. So any damage from Hurricane Irma, they are helping you out. Factory pricing, that is amazing. That is really amazing. That's what, you know, the dealership manager pays for his or her car. And every new vehicle at Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai comes with nationwide lifetime warranty. Nationwide lifetime warranty. Really think about that. It really stands out. Nationwide lifetime warranty. And Hyundai is offering an additional $750 off plus incentives to anyone with damage from Irma. LakelandAutoMall.com is where you want to go or stop by their new showrooms on West Memorial Boulevard in Lakeland, I-4 exit 28. Just minutes from Tampa, Brandon, and anywhere in Central Florida, Lakeland Auto Mall, where we are exceeding customer expectations every day. And if after that Bucks game, let's say maybe after Jameis's third interception, if you took a boot to your garage door and just kicked it in, hey, understandable. Understandable, folks. Discount Garage Doors, same day free service call, same day free estimate and diagnosis. So what this means is, this is not like other companies. You can call Discount Garage Doors 7 days a week, mind you, 7 days a week, and let them know you want an estimate for your garage door repair or on a new garage door. Free. They're going to come out and take care of you, and most of the time, they can do it right in the same day. That's fantastic. They'll beat any comparable estimate. This is a great local company servicing the entire Bay Area, going out to Orlando. 1-800-866. No, sorry, not 1-800-866. Don't do that. 1-866-420-DOOR, 1-866-420-DOOR, or visit dgdoors.com. You get 10% off with your Joe Bucks fan discount code, 10% off. And they have great discounts on their websites, other coupons and things like that, dgdoors.com. Remember, 7 days a week, they've got a wide range of doors, state licensed, family owned and operated locally here in the Tampa Bay area since 2000, Discount Garage Doors. Thanks to them and Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai. And no, I did not kick in my garage door as much as I wanted to. But here's the deal. Here's the deal that we need to understand. Bucks fans, we are tired of this September kick in the groin. That's really what's happening. Think about what happened yesterday. All right, I don't need to spell that out for you, what happened yesterday. But last year, week two, big win. Opening day in Atlanta. Bucks head out to Arizona and got train wrecked. What was it, 40-7? Jameis got beat up. Cutter left him in too long. I was out there. I was covering the game. It was ugly. They got manhandled, and DeMar Dotson and other guys, Joe Hawley and others, admitted after the game, yeah, they got a little too high on their press clippings after beating Atlanta, who a lot of people didn't think was that great, and the Bucks were coming off a 6-10 season. And they believed their press clippings off a 6-10 season. So that was a stomp in the groin in September. We all remember the worst one of them all. Mightiest September loss of them all. All the hype, all the excitement, everything that went into the 2015 game of Jameis Winston versus Marcus Mariota. And the Bucks got creamed. Lovie Smith, embarrassing defense. It was as if they never saw the read option and had no idea that Mariota might actually come out in his first NFL game, and his new head coach would use some of the concepts that Mariota was comfortable with in college. The Bucks were embarrassed in front of the home crowd. capped off by Austin Seferian Jack Wagon catching a late touchdown and high stepping it into the end zone with the Bucks with the game out of reach. I guess he was happy it was his second touchdown of the day. Whatever. That was 2015. Let's go to 2014. Another game I attended, and I happened to sit directly in front of Jason Light up in the Georgia Dome at that game. Now imagine that game. Now you know what I'm talking about. We're talking 2014. Bucks are 0-2. They were competitive in their first couple of games. Okay, they go to Atlanta week three on national television. They're gonna fix this. They're gonna show up. They're gonna be competitive. They're gonna write things. And you know what? The season was on the line. In many ways, when you're 0-2 and you got a division game in week three, your season's on the line, man. The Bucks trailed 56-0. I'm not going to out Jason Light, but you can imagine what it was like to sit in front of Jason Light, a brand new general manager, and he's down 56-0. I mean, that was an experience that was almost a little bit uncomfortable in some ways, but very entertaining, if nothing else. Now, that was another September bludgeoning of Bucks fans. Yesterday, Arizona in 2016, the Titans in 2015, in Atlanta. Let's go back to 2013. Opening day. We go up to New York. We go up to the Jets. And it was a killer choke job by Lavonte David with that last second personal foul that set the Jets up for a winning field goal. That was a crushing killer to kick off an 0-8 start. An 0-8 start to the season. It was brutal. Brutal. Wait a minute. Are we done yet, Bucks fans? The torture of Bucks fans? Are we done yet? No, we're not done yet. We're going to go back to 2012. The Schiano era is here. You know, the Bucks, there's some expectations, but, you know, people are sort of on the fence, don't know really exactly what to expect. So in comes Greg Schiano. And toes on the line and all this stuff going on. And the Bucks come out in week one and they win. They beat the Panthers. They win. There's some excitement. There's some feeling of peace and calm that, you know what? Hey, maybe Schiano, defensive-minded head coach, he's going to get the defense right. And, hey, maybe we're onto something here. We actually signed some free agents and they look like they can play. Well, sorry, folks, it's September, and the Bucks go up to the Giants, and they allow 25 points in the fourth quarter, and Bucks fans get stomped again. And if we really want to stretch this, we can even go to 2011, when Bucks fans' hopes are really high. They come out on opening day at home against the Lions, and Greg Olsen hands the ball off only five times to LeGarrette Blount after he just came off a league-dominating three quarters of a season the year before, their number one weapon entering that season, and they don't give him the football. And Olsen after the game was like, we got away from it. And it was a close game. There wasn't even any reason to abandon the run like the Bucks did yesterday, but that's stretching it. The reality is, if you go back to 2012, this is the sixth consecutive season that Bucks fans have been stomped on in September early. Stomped on, dealing with a non-competitive like situation or just stupidity or whatever you want to call it. And we're tired of it. We are really tired of it. And a lot of fans are beaten down by what keeps happening to this team early in seasons. I don't have it in front of me, but this team is 1-3. How many years in a row? Can't get out of its own way to start a season. Now, I'm not blasting Dirk Cutter here. Last year, look, they won opening day. Everything he did to prepare for opening day worked. They won. Same thing this year. Cutter had a lot of challenges. But this week two stuff, this game two stuff, that's not good. That is not good to be non-competitive 2 years in a row in your second week. Leadership. Where's the leadership? Now, it's a football game. Stuff happens. I don't think the Bucks season is finished. But I wanted to take a moment to give a nod, a tip of the cap, an understanding podcast hug to those of us who get that we've been clobbered and clubbed for six consecutive Septembers, and we need a break from that in a hurry. I feel better. I really needed to get that off my chest. And I'm lucky to have this podcast, lucky to have a forum as a Bucks fan to just let it rip. I know, I realize a lot of you don't have that. You may not have somebody to really dive in and talk Bucks with. And I know a lot of you really, you come and visit JoeBucksFan.com and you're not just reading information. You're sort of bonding with Joe, bonding with the voice of Joe, who's the fan, sort of the super fan slash journalist, like the super fan you are. In a different kind of way. You don't always agree, and that's good, but it's just great that we can be here. And I got to say one more time, you know, when you have sponsors, you appreciate them because they make this possible. Discount Garage Doors. If you have a need with your garage door, whatever it is, just keep it simple. Go to dgdoors.com and check it out. You're going to be very impressed. Use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code. Very impressive local company. And my good friends at Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai, Lakeland Ford, General Manager Sean Sullivan, call him up. Great guy. Hardcore Bucks fan. Knows more about the car business than I would say than I know about the Bucks, but I think a lot of you probably think I don't know that much about the Bucks. So Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai, thank you. And really check them out. Pre-owned service, great service, and really much easier to get to than you might think if you're not living in that area. Definitely worth the trip. All right. So enough of that fandom stuff. Let's get back to the game. Let's get to the game. And, you know, a lot of you might be feeling right now, is the glass half empty or is the glass totally empty? And I get that. I get that. But this is still a talented Bucks roster, even if it's injured. Now, not if it has so many injuries that it blows out half the defense. No, they're not that talented to recover from losing half the defense. Not possible. Noah Spence, shoulder injury. Lee DeKemper, my business partner, the other Joe at JoeBucksFan.com. You hear him on the Ira Kaufman podcast. Lee was in Minnesota. Noah Spence told him he knocked his shoulder out, dislocated it on the first play of the game, popped it back in, and then was basically completely ineffective until he waved out of the game in the first quarter. I wrote about that. You see, actually, if you go back on the video of if you DVR the game or something, you can see Spence go down, hold his right shoulder, about 8 minutes halfway through the first half or so. Excuse me, halfway through the first quarter, and he didn't reappear. Gerald McCoy, bad ankle, obviously an issue, and he tried to get through it. Quan Alexander is not playing. He only played a quarter of the game the other day, tweaked his hamstring. That's coming from Dirk Cutter. On SiriusXM NFL Radio, he actually came out and said he retweaked it, quote-unquote, retweaked. This was Friday night on Sirius. And he said Quan was trying to be all Bo Jackson on his interception return. That was the play that he heard it. And, you know, it's been a while now for Quan. He missed a good chunk of the end of training camp with that hamstring. We had the video on Joe Bucks Fan of the actual injury. Rock Riley caught it on video. And now he, you know, played a little bit of a game after not practicing. He didn't practice all week, and now he missed a game. Even if Quan comes back, you got to wonder about his football shape now. Now it's getting ugly. But hopefully he can figure this out. I don't know. If I'm the Bucks, do I think about sitting him for the next two games, let him really heal? I'm not sure. They have to go 2-2. They got to find a way to go 2-2 and split these games at home against Eli Manning and Tom Brady. They have to find a way to do it with their defense. And the defense needs to drive the bus. They need to slow these guys down because I think it's obvious right now, at least right now, that Jameis Winston is not somebody you're going to be able to count on to put up 35 points and win a ball game. His game isn't there right now to do that. Maybe it'll get there soon. I don't doubt Jameis at all as far as his ability, but he's not there right now. They put the game on his back yesterday, and he wasn't ready for it. Wasn't ready for prime time. And, you know, these are some tough situations coming up. But again, you move on to the rest of the defense. Levante David, high ankle sprain. How long is he going to miss? TJ Ward, who's a veteran player, is not a young guy, and now he's got a hip issue. Brent Grimes, he missed the game completely. So, You've got Chris Baker. Let's throw in Swaggy. Chris Baker. I'm not going to bash Swaggy here, but just a dose of reality on Chris Baker. He is not a picture of fitness. Okay, right? We're gonna go with that. He's not a picture of fitness. He's not a guy who's been a big fan of practice. He's now missed more time after the weird, and you got the weird bye week compounded by Baker played about a third of the game against the Bears. Then he didn't practice all week because of the flu. He didn't play Sunday. What's this guy's conditioning level? If he's even able to come back this week, you got to wonder about that. Ryan Smith, he's just incompetent. So that's not really an injury, though. Cornerback Ryan Smith, there's not much to say. We've beat that horse. I was with you guys on the podcast after Smith was brutal in Jacksonville in a practice, in a joint practice. He was really exposed just over and over again, having a terrible practice. I know I shared with you that I was standing next to Rex Ryan, who was watching the practice, who was just simply marveling at how bad Ryan Smith was. And he was also surprised, saying that the kid moved from safety to corner, and corner's easier than safety, and he shouldn't be struggling this much. You know, Smith is a second-year guy. Sure, he didn't take a defensive snap last year, but he's still a second-year player. That maturity and ability is supposed to show up a little bit. I get it was his first game, but man, he was just torched and too much cushion and didn't look comfortable. You know, and I want to give the guy slack, but I just don't buy what the team has done with Ryan Smith. We've written about this. Excuse me. I've talked about this. We saw it play out. And I'm not going to kill it, but reality is, and I wrote this on JoeBucksFan.com, they evaluated him. This group evaluated him as a safety. That was wrong. They evaluated him as a kick returner. That was wrong. They've evaluated him as a cornerback, and all evidence says that was wrong. So I don't trust him. I don't trust the evaluation of him. And it seems like a dream scenario to think that this guy can be any good. So the Bucs are in trouble there. And you look at Vernon Hargraves, he might be the most troubling situation on the defense right now. Now, he's not injured. He's got his knee really banged up. But two bad games in a row. And guys are supposed to make that leap in the second season. We've all heard it. Coaches say it all the time. They're supposed to take a leap in year two from year one. Hargraves so far has not done that. Now, it's just two games, and that's all we have to talk about is two games. So you can say this is overreaction, whatever. It's two games. We're talking about what we're seeing, and preseason doesn't count, where Hargraves played better in the preseason, but he's not been good, and we haven't exactly been up against juggernaut receivers yet. So tough tests coming, especially if Grimes can't come back. There's no cover for Hargraves if he's got to take on the best that the Patriots and the Giants have to offer. It's a very tough situation here, and hopefully he'll rise to it. He's got the talent. He's got the ability, but he's going to have to prove, like every player in this league, that he can play banged up. He's going to prove that he's learned from his past mistakes, and he's a high number first-round draft pick. Those guys... You need to become, as a cornerback, you need Vernon Hargraves to become a top 15 cornerback in the league. You need him to become a good number one corner, not just a bottom rung number one corner. You need him to be a darn good player. And he's not there yet. Now, there's a little bit of time, but, you know, you go to Minnesota and you look at, I'm trying to think of his name. Gosh, their cornerback, not Rhodes, the other guy, Waynes, I always forget. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He was their first round pick, I think number 11 overall in 2015. So he is a year ahead of Hargraves. And you know what? Yes, he picked Jameis the other day. Trey Waynes. He picked Jameis yesterday, but they've been talking about Waynes as a bust. They're dropping the B word on him already. And it's the beginning of his third season. And he didn't have a good opening day. He bounced back yesterday. But Hargraves needs to step up. When you have a guy drafted that high, he absolutely has to step up. The injuries, I don't know. It's Monday. You get a better picture with the first injury report on Wednesday. Otherwise, it's all just speculation. But, man, if the Bucs lose half of their defense, half of these defensive guys, let's say they lose Noah Spence, Kwan, Levante, and let's say Grimes comes back and McCoy's back, but TJ Ward is out and Swaggy is, you know, getting his strength back. That's not good. I'm not sure that they can handle an offense like the Giants with half their defensive stars out. So we'll see. We'll see. Injury report comes out Wednesday. Yesterday's game. Dirk Cutter is a smart play caller. He's been doing it 30-something years. And the Bucs got away from the running game way too early. Now, yes, it was a blowout early. But you still have to make a commitment to the running game, even if it's spreading them wide and running some draw plays, something. Because no balance to an offense is almost a sure loser. You have to have some shred, some sort of modicum of balance. The Bucs had eight handoffs. Who wins with eight handoffs? Five? Jaquizz Rodgers is your number one back. He gets five carries. He doesn't have a run for a loss. Hey, he averages 3 yards a carry, whatever. He had some four-yard runs, a no gain. Yeah, you know how it goes. Dalvin Cook didn't get off to a good start in that game either. I think he had the Bucs had eight carries total. And in those eight carries, they had more yards than Dalvin Cook had in his first eight carries. You got to stay with it a little bit because it helps, and you need that balance. And I'm not saying the Bucs would have won the game, but Cutter should have run that ball more. And where was Peyton Barber? Where was Peyton Barber? Offensive coordinator Todd Monken was telling us showed that he was a bit of a load out there, hard to take down. The guy ran well against the Bears. I think the Bears even proved against the Falcons and the Saints that they're not total garbage. We knew they had a solid front seven. Peyton Barber, the guy's a load. Where is he? Didn't even get in the game. It's not why the Bucs lost, but Cutter got away from it too early. And you know what? If you're not going to run the ball, then what do you need Doug Martin back for? I mean, you can't blame Jaquizz Rodgers for only getting five carries and 15 yards. What did you expect? What do you expect from Adrian Peterson in his prime on five carries? So it's a tough situation. I will say the running backs blocked very well. Pass protection overall was excellent. Cutter talked about that on the radio, on his radio show, I believe, Buccaneers Radio Network, saying that the pass blocking coming out of the Bears game was really number one positive, and I thought the pass blocking in this game was excellent. Sure, you had some breakdowns, a couple of breakdowns, Evan Smith, a couple of sacks, whatever. Overall, it was very good. The pass blocking from the running backs, Charles Sims, excellent pass blocker. Jaquizz Rodgers, excellent pass blocker. But they didn't do enough with it. Jameis in the three picks, it's frustrating. It's frustrating. We all feel the frustration. It's not a lot I can say to you about Jameis's interceptions and start getting all X's and O's and whatever. Look, he's not in perfect sync with DeSean Jackson, and I don't think Jameis is throwing with great confidence right now. Some throws, sure. But consistently, I don't think so. I think there's something missing there. That's my take. I'll say this, Mike Evans, can we throw a deep ball to Mike Evans? Can we throw the 50-50 ball that we all know Mike Evans can win most of? Remember the Dunkineers, Jason Light, and the whole, you know, let's get these big receivers? Forget about the Dunkineers one-liner. Mike Evans, where's the 50-50 ball? Where is it? Are we really to believe that he's not a home run threat? Do we really believe that? This guy in his prime, he's gotten much better at running routes. He's not as slow as he looks. He's gotten faster, or he's not as slow as people think he is. Why is he not a deep threat? Do we really think he can get no separation? And you know what? If it's a 50-50 ball, I don't know. I don't think we're seeing enough of that at all. And I think that would even help open up the offense further. You know, you can nitpick Dirk Cutter and who he's throwing the ball to, O.J. Howard. One target again this week, one catch. Chris Godwin showed up this week, three catches, three targets. And I thought that was very encouraging. I thought Godwin's catches were strong catches. He looked like the guy we all saw in practice and also a little bit in preseason. That was very encouraging. Godwin, to me, was very encouraging. I'm uplifted by that. Humphreys had a strong game. The weapons are there. The weapons are there. It's just a question of Jameis playing better, Dirk Koetter calling a better game, Ira Kaufman's column today, and really his 10 takeaways right after the game that published on JoeBucksFan.com. I thought Ira's, you know, rightfully nailing Dirk Koetter a little bit for the game plan, which, you know, Ira was joked, you know, that game plan for Minnesota is not exactly going to go into Canton. Now, I understand that, sure, you get down 14-3 and things change, but a lot of times they don't change or don't have to change that much. And Case Keenum, it's embarrassing. It really is embarrassing for Mike Smith, for the organization, to let Case Keenum carve you up three consecutive times, 2 years in a row. You knew what was coming. You know what this guy's all about, yet you still can't stop him. And that's just unfortunate. I don't think Case Keenum did anything differently. He wasn't special other than throwing on target and looking great. He wasn't fooling the Bucks. There was no unique game plan by Minnesota. I think they sort of did exactly what everybody thought. You know, try to stay balanced until the Bucks could stop him, and they couldn't stop anything. All that said, Bucks fans, keep your heads up. Is really they lost in Minnesota on the road. One game, 1-1. Not a bad start if you really think about it. And you know, there's a lot of upside to this team. There should be anyway. I don't believe for a second, and you shouldn't either, that Jameis Winston is not a good quarterback, a quarterback on the rise. He'll fight through this, he'll learn from it. But you do have to wonder, and the one thing that makes you wonder is that throw in the first quarter to Cameron Brait. Jameis hadn't thrown three picks yet, but that throw to Cameron Brait, where Evan Smith got beaten, Jameis in field goal range, could have taken a sack and just taken the sack that was coming right at him, kept it in field goal range, but he tried to escape. He went backwards about 5 yards, and in the grasp of a defender, he just heaved the ball up, not even to the line of scrimmage, barely right to the line of scrimmage in the direction of Cameron Brait, who had three Vikings around him, and he managed to come up with the catch. Now, you know that all morning long, this beautiful Monday, September 25th, Jameis was ripped in the Bucks, One Buck Palace, in the meeting room for making that throw, that they drilling it into him again. Don't do that. That was Jacksonville all over again. Stupid throw in scoring position. A needless throw. Just a decision that you can't make. So what is it about Jameis that has him keep making those decisions? It's his competitive fire. Well, you know what? Dirk Koetter, Mike Bajakian, you don't want to coach the competitive fire out of him. But there is something called situational football. And you got to find a way to dance that balance of coaching Jameis situational football in certain situations to get him to make better decisions more often. That's really what it comes down to, because that throw to Brait, even though it didn't change the game, yes, it was complete for no gain. It was stupid, stupid beyond stupid, and it's something that Jameis shouldn't be doing. He's played, it was his 34th start. He's not a baby anymore. He's a smart guy. He can get it. Other quarterbacks have gotten it. Maturity can take time, but man, they've got to fix that. They've got to fix that, because you know what? If that was a pick six and that changed the game right there, it would have been 14-0 if that was a pick six. Could have put him out of the game right there. Can't do that. And it's just a little red flag that you hope doesn't become something bigger in a game that had a lot more problems than that one play. But still, it's a play that shouldn't have happened. And lastly, on Mike Evans and the whole anthem kneeling thing and the sitting and the hand over the heart and all the different anthem displays, you know, a lot of people hit us on JoeBucksFan.com saying, oh, you guys are chickening out. You're not taking a stand, whatever. Look, if it really interested me, if I really thought it was just like riveting stuff, we'd be writing about it and talking about it. I'm not going to just write about this stuff for clicks, because they'll get clicks. They'll get people looking at the stories and discussions, and it'll pop up 63 comments. And sometimes people see that. They don't want to read the story, but they want to see the comments. We're just not going to do that. We've never done that. And there's not much to say. In my mind, you want to protest, you want to do whatever you want to do, okay. There are consequences, good and bad, for everything. There are consequences for the league, consequences for the president, consequences for individual players, and fans can do what they want to do, and that's just business. You know, there are businesses and employees and businesses and unions and you name it that take stances and stands on products and political policy and all kinds of things all the time, and they have consequences. I'm not saying anything's right or wrong, but would I do what the players are doing with, kneeling for the anthem? I don't think so. I think I would try to find something better, more impactful, and more creative. Now, they've gotten the attention. I'm not sliding the players' interests, but they've gotten the attention of the United States. They've gotten attention of people. So now take it to the next level. Sit down with the NFL, the players' union, figure out really what your issues are, really what you want to protest, because I think these guys are all over the place on what they're really... There's no clear message, let's put it that way, in my opinion, and make it clear and do it in a better way, because what's going on now is not really a good, it's all over the place. So take what you want to do and make it more, more effective, because you can figure that out. If I'm the players, that would be my message to them. As far as Mike Evans specifically, I think he looks real bad because the guy apologized last year. Immediately backtracked after he sat for the anthem, his protest of Trump. He apologized, said he wasn't going to do it again, said it was not something he wanted to do, and here we are 10 months later. That doesn't look good, and that doesn't matter who you are and what you're doing and why. What's next? To me, it's just a little bit... the whole thing is just not well-coordinated, and I hope they find a way, the players, if they want to coordinate, find a way to do it. Whether it's and figure out how you're going to get the most TV time for yourself. And I'm sure it'll be a noble effort, but this isn't going too well for anybody. And hopefully we'll see if the NFL can get ahead of it before they alienate too many fans. But I think at the end of the day, they're not going to alienate enough fans where they're going to lose enough money where they're really going to care. It's just the way it is. Most fans are not all caught up in this stuff and they don't watch football to get caught up in it. They don't care. And if they lose 10%, so what? So if the NFL loses 10% of its income, who's that going to hurt? It's a non-issue to me in a lot of ways. And maybe I'm rambling, but that just explains that I don't really care that much and why you're not going to be reading about this left and right play-by-play on JoeBucksFan.com. Thanks for listening to the podcast, which of course is available on iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, right here on JoeBucksFan.com. The numbers have been very strong, growing. I'm almost afraid to approach Ira Kaufman when the time comes, because it's coming, when I get to tell him that this podcast is more popular than his. But you know what? We're only about 9 episodes in, something like that, 10. So we have a little ways to go, but we are growing fast. I appreciate the good feedback. To me, the feedback is in the audience, and it's going up, not going down. And you know what? When podcasts suck, they go down. So hang in there, Bucks fans. It's been tough. You've had your groin stomped again on another September, as we talked about earlier. But the Giants are very beatable at home. Bucks got a 5-game winning streak. Good things should be happening at home. There's no reason why they can't win that football game. Even with the injuries on defense, the talent is there to outscore. They just have to put it together. And there's hope. Hope lives in Tampa Bay. And hey, thanks for listening to the podcast. Thanks for reading JoeBucksFan.com. Thank you to Lakeland Automall, Ford, and Hyundai. Thank you to Discount Garage Doors. And we'll see you next week.